Tonight we're going to pick up on our series, One Righteous Day. And tonight what I want to talk about is singing and prayer. And how does that fit into living a righteous day? To begin with, this is our theme verse for this study, is Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. And really, as we talk about singing and praying, I think if you want to get right down to the, get down to business with what are we doing, it's really this line here, great is your faithfulness. Singing and praying is really has to do with acknowledging God and recognizing what He does in our life and recognizing the scope of what He does, the power of what He does, and you just go right down the list of everything God does for us in our life. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, or this evening. Let's go ahead and start out with the first message we had on this, One Righteous Day, or I guess it would be the second, is vision. We need to have vision, or a vision, in order to have a righteous day. Really saying, I want to live this day as a righteous day, that's a goal. Why would you make that goal? And how is that goal a reasonable goal? It's because we have this idea, I want to go to heaven. But in order to go to heaven, I have to do some things, and those things are going to be included in living a day that is righteous and repeating those righteous days. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 9, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And right there, what Paul is saying, our vision is our faith. See, it's not the physical vision we have. It's that faith vision that we have, the hope we have in reaching heaven. I want to be in heaven. I want to live forever. I want a city that has foundations made by the hand of God. I want my family to be with me there in heaven. I want my brethren to be there with me in heaven. So we have this vision, is this is what I want, and this is what God promised. This is what I know I can have. Now let's read on. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. See, the vision is, I want heaven. I want to be with God. But the application of that vision is, we need to be pleasing to God. And so in Romans 12:1, it talks about giving yourself is a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God. And as we go through life, I think we can get caught up in maybe letting weeks go by at a time. But we're not, sometimes it's hard to live a righteous week or a righteous month or a righteous year. It's hard to say, I'm never going to make a mistake again. But one thing we know we can do is we can live one day righteously and then just repeat that. It's just like any other craftsman or trade, is we're learning the skill, the craftsmanship, the mastery of negotiating a righteous day. So what kind of tools do we need? What do we need to do that? Vision is one of them. The scripture, spiritual food, is the next one. A couple of psalms we read is, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. A righteous day is going to include the Word of God. In 18 it says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And two things we need to recognize is the Word of God is what causes us not to sin. You want to live a righteous day, then you want the thing that gets you to where you're not doing unrighteous things, right? That's the Word of God. Jesus said you need to eat the bread that comes from heaven. Well, how often do you eat bread physically? That should give you an idea of what we need, physical sustenance. God gave the children of Israel manna in the wilderness in Deuteronomy 8:3 so that they might learn man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our theme verse, they are new every morning. All these things sort of fit together to give you this idea. How often should I go out and collect the manna that God has given me? Every day. Collect enough for the day. They're new every morning. And that you should consider, how is God's word going to be applied in my life? And it's not just a matter of study, right? That was last week's lesson, is you can contain all this information. But what Ezra said in Ezra 7:10 is, I have set my heart to study, to practice, and to teach. And that really ought to be, that is the process a tradesman or a craftsman goes through in his mastery. He starts out by learning information, right? Reading manuals, finding out how things work. And then he takes that information and he applies it. Well, now I know why this works. I know that there, even though a manual says something, there are some nuances that go along with it. Well, it doesn't tell me every detail. It tells me the general principle. But there are details we need to work out. So when you practice it, you find that out. And finally, now here's a new guy, and he's learning the information. Now let's see if we can save him some trouble, right? Now I have some experiences here. I'm going to share these experiences here. You know, in plumbing, I would sweat solder. Some experiences I have is, I had a crew, and I'd have them go hook up a water line. So you got to sweat solder those. Well, there's water coming out, and you can't solder if water is on the pipe. You can't get the pipe hot enough because the water literally will keep the pipe from heating up. So how do you deal with that? Well, there's a few ways. You can put a little straw down the pipe and blow on it. It'll blow the water out. You can put a vacuum and suck the water out, right? You can put a piece of Wonder Bread up inside the pipe, and it blocks the water. You solder it up, and then the Wonder Bread dissolves in the water. So there's all these different ways to solve this problem. But I had a crew one time. I left them on a job site. It was a Wednesday night, so I left early so I could make it to church. And it was maybe 5 o'clock. I drove back home, got cleaned up, got to church. After church, I get a phone call. We're out here on this job site. We can't get this pipe soldered together. Well, the guy was out of water. I was like, why not? Well, there's water coming out. And after they talked to me, I was like, here's what you do. And I told them, and it was 5 minutes later, everything was back together. You know, but that's the idea, is you study, you practice, and then you teach. You save people some pain. And I learned something about that too. Stop giving my guys solder joints. Get them some compression things that don't have those kinds of problems. See, there's some more experience. But the point is as disciples, as spiritual craftsmen, we have experiences that we need to share. And you need to think of your brethren as various stages of apprentices, right? And you have something you can share. You have something. You need to find out what they need, though. And that's through involvement. And so we need spiritual food. As we look through this, we are talking about craftsmanship. And so the way I'm laying out this class is an easy way for me to remember. Hopefully an easy, because all you have to think about is the righteous day we live, right? Sunday, we have everything we need for a righteous day, sort of self-contained in our worship service. We have teaching and spiritual food. We have praying and singing. We have the communion and contribution. And on top of those two things, really, we would have vision, which is one element, and fellowship, which is another element I'll touch on the end. But as we go through this, it's hard to avoid that idea of fellowship, even when we're talking about, you know, spiritual food. Well, you study, practice, teach. Well, teaching involves fellowship, doesn't it? And you can just go through all these. And tonight, what we're going to be talking about, it's all going to involve fellowship. But just remember this. Just think about this. So as we go through these weeks, and what I've been doing is I'm taking the stuff I'm studying and learning, and I'm trying to make it simple so I can actually do it. You know, dumb it down for me. I'm trying to make it simple so that way I can actually be successful. And so I've been applying these principles. I've been trying to take spiritual food and consider how to study and apply things and use it. And I've been thinking about vision. I'm a week ahead because I'm studying this lesson last week. So I've been thinking about how does singing and prayer interact with my life, and how can I add that to a day? And it's really nice, actually. Life gets so busy, it's nice to slow things down and focus on today and see how much of a difference can these things making my day. And one thing I just find is, if you're thinking that I'm going to live a righteous day today, the first thing that crosses my mind when I wake up is, I want today to be a righteous day. And so, as soon as I wake up, that's what crosses my mind. So I can pray about that, and I can think about that. And it really helps me to start my day on the right foot and to put my priorities in order and to evaluate, what am I doing here? Is this righteous? And there are times, and that's what we'll talk about tonight, is that I need to seek God's face, that I need to correct myself. But overall, it seems like I've been having a lot more success as I go through life and walking in this fashion. So we need to work on our craftsmanship. So today we're going to talk about singing and praying. And we'll start in 2 Chronicles, and I want to connect a couple of ideas for us. There's all sorts of verses we can look at about singing and praying, and I have a whole notebook page of verses and notes, and I decided, you know what, I'm just going to keep it simple, and we're just going to say, okay, what does it do, and how do I use it? That's what we're going to focus on. So we'll look at a few simple things. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. This is Solomon. He prays for certain things at the consecration of the temple. And in verse 13, or in verse maybe 12, God responds to him. But let's fast forward to verse, I'll start reading in verse 13. God says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, and said pestilence among my people." So as you read that, what God is saying is, when I'm angry with you, which means when you are walking sinfully. So that's the premise of this comment. When you're walking sinfully, when you've been rebellious to the point of me being punishing to you, this is what you need to do. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." I want us to think about that for a moment. Think about the picture. He says, when you humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways and seek my face. You see, when we walk in sin, when we turn our backs on God and we reject him, he also then turns his back on us. Right? And so you have this opposition thing where our backs are facing each other. And God says, that's a bad situation to be in. But he says, go, when you find that out, if you humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways, repent, then I will forgive you and restore you. I'll heal you. And think about this. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 24, and just as a side note, we're talking about manuscript evidence. They actually found a broken piece of pottery from 800 BC with this particular verse written on it. So that's the oldest piece of scripture that is known right now. But it's from 800 BC. So it's pretty amazing. But this is what it says. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." That's the blessing that the high priest would give to the people. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, lift his countenance. The idea of countenance is really the Hebrew word. It means every part of the face. So make every part of the face turn towards you. And it's just that picture of acceptance and embrace. And that's what the blessing was. And what God said is, if you're seeking my face, if you're seeking every part of my face, my countenance, if you're looking for me to be pleased in you. Now, as we think about that picture, let's look at a verse that I think is very similar in James chapter 5. I think this really is both of them fall, in my view, in the same context of thought. In James 5, verse 13, 13, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so as you read that, really, I think it's the same context as in 2 Chronicles 7:14. What it's saying is when you are lost in sin, when you are sick, I think the context, when he talks about sick, the context carries the idea of when you are lost in sin, what do you need to do? Pray. And that praying will restore, it will heal, it will raise you back up. And that's a very similar idea. And so as we talk about living a righteous day, there will be times when our face and God's face are opposing each other. When my way goes against God's way. And sometimes it will be out of rebellion and stubbornness. And sometimes it will be out of ignorance. Sometimes it'll be out of just pride and foolishness or blindness. Whatever it is, we live life of repentance. We live a life that needs to acknowledge when we know we're wrong. We live a life that needs to seek the face of God. And so when we seek the face of God in prayer, what it says is, God will see you. God will recognize that, and He will restore you and forgive you. So that's the first thing is, why do we pray? In order to be restored with God. And so that's the first point I want to make. The second point, also from 2 Chronicles, is, turn with me to 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. I'll give you a little background to this first. King Asa, in the beginning of his reign, he loved God, he was faithful, he had an army of 300,000 men, and King Asa had the Ethiopians come up upon him. Just a horde, a million-man army. You have 300,000 men, they have a million man and chariots. So this is just a horde. And Asa turns fully to God. And God delivered Asa with very, very little loss. So it was just an astounding victory that God gave them. So time goes on, years pass, and here comes another threatening army. Asa is in a lot of trouble. So what does he do? He goes, he hires Ben-Hadad, which I believe it was the king of Ammon. I'm not finding it, but that's why I think I remember reading is the king of Ammon. And anyway, he hires another army to protect him. And in verse 16:9, this is God talking to him about this situation. And start in verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, He gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards Him. This is something that we need to keep in mind. It says, God is seeking. His eyes are busy looking. They are roaming throughout the earth in order to give strong support to somebody. Now let me compare that with the New Testament scripture again. And I want to consider what they were doing. In Acts chapter 16, we find Paul and Silas in prison in the middle of the night. They had been beaten. They had been locked up, thrown in jail. Now in a situation like that, it might be tempting to be scared or to wonder, what is going to happen to me? How's this thing going to play out? You might want to sit down and talk about your options with the friend that's right there with you. You might want to spend some time quivering in fear and crying, right? You might be a little bit concerned about this situation that's going on. I know I would be. But Paul and Silas realized something, and I think this is a powerful testament. They realized the eyes of the Lord are searching the earth to and fro in order to give strong support to those whose heart is completely His. So what did they do? They demonstrated through singing and praying that my heart completely belongs to God. Let's think about that for our own life. Sometimes we have hard times that come on because we've made them for ourselves. Sin and what that sort of thing. That was the last verse. Sometimes we have hard times that we don't necessarily have control over. We don't necessarily know how things are going to play out. Illness is not something we have a lot of control over, is it? Sick family members, problems at the job, being laid off. Children, I mean, all sorts of things come up in life that are trying things. Things that we're tempted to sit and worry about, that we might want to talk about, what is my options? How is this going to play out? We might want to shut down and do all these things that probably Paul and Silas wanted to do. But we need to realize something. The eyes of the Lord are seeking to and fro in order to strongly support those whose heart are completely His. So when you're in that hard time, when you're struggling, when you feel like, I don't know what to do, I don't know how life is going to play out, then what you need to show God is, my heart is completely yours. That's the time to sing and pray at midnight in a condition no one would think that you would be singing and praying in order to build yourself up, to give yourself confidence in the power of God, and in order to call and send a message to the one who's searching for someone like you. And so, if you're trying to live a righteous day, some days are bad, some days are hard, some days are very discouraging. What tool do you use to get the attention of the Creator? Show Him, demonstrate to Him, my heart completely belongs to you. And so now let's take a look at another verse here. I like this one. This is sort of a different angle, but let's go ahead and turn with me to Colossians. I didn't put the up there. Colossians chapter 3. And I'll start in verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. So here we are. He's telling you, here are some things to do. And essentially, that's what this is all about. Here's some things to put on. Here's some things that Christians need to do. The first thing is let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That's the statement. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Now, why would you do that? I guess you ask the question. Paul answers it right away. Why would you do that? Because that's what you've been called to. You've been called to peace. You've been called to walk in a place where you don't have to worry about things. God's going to take care of you. God has cleansed you from your sin. You don't have to worry about judgment. God has said that my children will not, so God will take care of you. And so He says, you're called to peace. And verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because this is what you are called to, and be thankful. And I think there's a connection. The thankfulness part has a lot to do with the peace. You cut out the thankfulness, and something is missing, right? It's missing an important ingredient. It's like if you ever try to make cookies or something and you don't put any salt in it. You eat the cookie, there's just something missing. It's not quite the same. And it's the same thing here, is you're called to peace, but how are you going to have peace if you are not looking and acknowledging what God has done in your life, what God is doing in your life? And so here's another element to this. What have you been called to do? What have you been called to do? What is God's purpose in calling you? To live in peace through acknowledging Him. It's a pretty powerful statement that Paul makes here. Verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So here's another thing that you need to do. You're called to peace, so let the peace of Christ rule your heart. The next thing, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? What exactly does that mean? How does it dwell in me? Because you think about, well, I know it, I understand it, I have this storehouse of knowledge. Now what? And he explains that. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, it's hard for me to miss the connection that the peace of God is in your heart and thankfulness is in your heart. I think those things may be parallel a little bit, right? Is the thankfulness of God is in your heart, and so you're acknowledging Him. Again, you're acknowledging God. Well, in what way? Well, by singing. And that tells you an important element of singing. What does it do in your life? When we sing as a group, what are we doing? We're teaching one another. We're praising the Lord. We're thinking about the power of who God is, right? You think about Jesus, name above all names. Emmanuel. You know, you just imagine, how high is Emmanuel when you think about that song? Well, every other name is right here and he's up here. How high? He just keeps rising. He just keeps rising, right? Name above all names. It's helping you to understand something about God. When we sing, it helps us to apply Scripture in a lot of senses. It helps us to let Scripture have a certain effect on us, right? It's an encouragement. It builds us up. It warns us. We're going to sing a song after the lesson. Why not tonight? Ask us a very good question, right? If you've heard the word of the Lord, why not respond tonight? And so singing does a lot for us, but it's the same, similar, it's an outlet. You let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That's an outlet of thankfulness. Singing songs and hymns and letting the word of Christ richly dwell in your heart, that's an outlet for thankfulness as well. And let's look at this last piece here. Verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now here's an interesting connection to what we started out talking about vision. What was the reason why we had, what was the outcome of our vision? I guess that's the best way to put it. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight, and we're of good spirits. Therefore, whatever we do to be pleasing to God. See, we have this vision, this faith, and the outcome of it is being pleasing to God. Colossians 3:17 says, do all in the name of the Lord. Everything you do. Well, I'm going to walk. I'm going to teach you a lesson. We'll do that in the name of the Lord. I'm going to go dig a hole. Do that in the name of the Lord. I'm going to talk to my wife. Do that in the name of the Lord. I'm going to discipline my children. Do that in the name of the Lord. I'm trying to encourage somebody. Do that in the name of the Lord. I'm going to eat pizza. Do that in the name of the Lord. Right? Everything you do. Well, how do you eat pizza in the name of the Lord? You be thankful. Right? You do it according to the Scripture. Well, how do I keep those Scriptures fresh in my mind? Singing is one of the ways. Right? How do I help my brethren keep that? Singing is one of the ways. Fellowship's just intermingled in here. But what about my family, right? Is you can sing together, pray together. We acknowledge God. And singing and praying is really an element of our life that acknowledges God. Let's go ahead and look at Ephesians 5 real quick. This is sort of a parallel passage. Ephesians 5, and I'll start in verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns. Yeah, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to listen to that verse again. Giving thanks always and for everything. In Colossians it says, do all in the name of the Lord. That's important. All and always are absolutes. What part of your life should be excluded from acknowledging God? Well, nothing, right? That's really the point. Nothing should be excluded. How do I acknowledge God then? I'm trying to live a righteous day. What tool do I need in order to acknowledge God the way that God has asked me to? Prayer and singing. Those are two critical ways. That's in the context of what we're talking about here. And let's add a little bit of something. Not add, but let's pull another point out of this verse. Verse 18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. This is going to, and on the next slide we'll talk about this a little, but I'm having a really boring day. A lot of people say, well, I like to have a couple beers, or I like to use alcohol in order to make me feel a little better, to be able to relax, throw whatever it is, right? And you can, and it doesn't have to be just, that's the context, but it doesn't just have to be that. I'm looking to add some spice to my life. That's really the point. I'm looking to put a little excitement in this boring existence. What does God say? Don't replace me with substances. Don't replace me with other things. Sing. Let the singing put excitement into your life. Let it make melody in your heart. Let it cause you to rejoice. Let it cause you to acknowledge me. And I think that's an important thing for us to pay attention to. Is, I'm having a bored day. What do I do? What tool do I need to get through this this uneventful situation I'm in? We have sometimes dire straits, right, where nothing exciting is happening. What do I do? Sing is what the Scripture says, right? Allow your acknowledgement of God be the thing that fires you up. And that doesn't mean, okay, don't do other things that fire you up. What that means is don't replace God. Don't replace God with these other things. Let God be the one who gets you out of bed in the morning. Let God be the one that makes you look forward to getting home after work. Let God be the one that makes you motivated in everything. Always give thanks to God. So let's talk about it. Well, I sing and pray when I need to seek the Lord's face. Right? I need forgiveness. I need to turn from what I'm doing. I'm making mistakes. So then you can use singing and praying to accomplish that ends. I need the Lord to seek me out. What do? I'm having a hard time. I need the Lord to seek me out and give me strong deliverance. Well, we sing and pray. I need to recognize God's work in my life. I'm feeling discouraged. What do? We sing and pray. When life is dull and I need a boost, sing and make melody in your heart to God. In order to contemplate the Word of Christ, what do? I sing and pray. In order to teach and encourage my brother, I put in little brackets, your family. As we think about, it says brother, right? Our families, our wife is our sister, right? Or your husband is your brother. A lot of times I think sort of set them aside as something different than that. We reckon they're important to us, right? We care about them. But maybe we don't think of it in that term. Our brother, our sister needs encouragement. How do we encourage one another? Singing and praying. Our children are disciples. Our family is like a little disciple unit. We're on our way to heaven. We're in our covered wagon, and our axle just broke. You know, we got to cross this river. We have, you know, whatever analogy you want to use. We're struggling through life. We're not getting along really well. What can we do together to work that situation out? Sing and pray, right? Add God's word. And so all of this is just a tool. You're a craftsman, right? You're a disciple, an apprentice. You're learning how to make a day righteous. What do I need? How do I use this particular tool that God has given me? Well, you use it in order to acknowledge your God. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll read 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Simple memory verse if you want to memorize something. You can memorize three verses in two sentences, right? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. You want to sum up how God expects a Christian to make an unrighteous day a righteous day? One of the tools, one of His will for you? Have you ever asked, what's my purpose? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks to God. As we consider one righteous day, what role does singing and prayer have in it? Every righteous day will be a day you acknowledge the greatness of God. That's just plain and simple. Every righteous day will be a day you acknowledge the greatness of God. When we worship together, we acknowledge the greatness of God in all that we do, really, right? In the way we handle the Scripture. In the way we take the communion. In the way we give of our means, we give back what God has given to us. We're acknowledging God. And in the way we sing, and in the way we pray, every day should acknowledge God in those same ways. Every day can be a righteous day. You know, the best thing is, you start on a journey. Every journey, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, right? You might have thousands of days left to live your life. But today can start. Today, right now, you can start by saying, this day is going to be righteous. Maybe you need to seek the face of the Lord. Maybe you want to put your journey in the trusting hands of the Lord, in the faithful hands of the Lord. Whatever it is that you need, if you need to be baptized, if you would like to start walking with Christ, if you would like to share the vision of heaven with us, or if you need to seek the face of God, if you need to seek the strong support of God, if there's anything we can help you with, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.